Part 3. He was hungry. He was starving. I need, he mumbled into Namjoon's mouth as they kissed on the bed of Namjoon's apartment. And Namjoon said, I know, I know. There was no precise word for the need inside him. A yearning, maybe, accompanied with a burning fire. Everything felt so hot, so urgent, thick and sweet, as they ended up naked, tangled up in each other. Seokjin wrapped his legs around Namjoon's waist with no hesitation, Namjoon hovering over him. He'd beg, if necessary. But something was bothering Seokjin, and he tried to place the feeling. Was it that there was no music on, that Namjoon had not bothered? Or was it that Seokjin was trying to remember something he'd forgotten, a word on the tip of his tongue that he couldn't place? But all of it felt foggy. The ghost taste of tobacco in Namjoon's kiss, and how underneath that was just Namjoon himself, maddening and addictive. The way Namjoon kissed at his throat and chest, the skin flushed as his body began to overheat after nearly freezing. Namjoon's fingers working him open, sticky with lube, and the murmured encouragement and praise that made Seokjin keen. It ached and hurt somehow in his chest.
Want you so bad, baby,
Namjoon whispered against his mouth, and he nodded, dizzy and eager, a bit desperate. Please. If he said it once, he'd said it 1,000 times. Namjoon, please. A heart attack. God, it felt like he was having a heart attack, maybe. But a good one. Was there such a thing? Namjoon pushed his legs apart, and Seokjin tugged him close, wanting him close, wanting Namjoon between his parted thighs. He choked on his breath when Namjoon pushed in, and Namjoon watched him the entire time, hand brushing hair from his forehead. Body tensed, one hand guiding his cock as Seokjin opened up. He choked on his breath, bit on his bottom lip. Keep going, he rasped. Keep going. Did he have tears in his eyes? Then they were wrapped up in each other, foreheads pressed together. Namjoon was over him, had him spread out, his legs open wide, and he was full. The sex wasn't hard and brutal. It wasn't cheeky. Fuck, maybe it wasn't even sexy. It was slow. It was handsy. It was a little too needy. Seokjin gulped, trying to breathe, but his body was trembling. He was completely lost. And they couldn't stop kissing, the movements of their bodies slow, but deep. His mouth was sore, overused, overbitten, overkissed, his fingers scratching down Namjoon's sweat-slick back. What was the word he couldn't think of? This is so good, he breathed, dazed. Never stop. Don't. Namjoon, please.
I'm right here.
Namjoon breathed, fingers digging into his hips, hard enough to bruise. Seokjin mouthed at Namjoon's throat blindly, tongue swiping at the salty skin.
You feel so good, babe. Ugh, fuck. You don't even know.
Namjoon groaned, and Seokjin sucked a bruise to the skin just below Namjoon's ear, knowing what it did to Namjoon. They readjusted the position, Namjoon dragging him down the bed with two commanding hands on his hips, Seokjin's legs lifting to Namjoon's sides. Namjoon's elbows came to rest by the sides of his head, and they stared at each other, Namjoon's hips rolling against him. Seokjin's breaths were shallow and hot, sweat rolling down the side of his face. Namjoon's fingers twisted in his hair, scratching the scalp, holding him close. Namjoon fucked into him deep, deeper, and Seokjin whimpered, and then groaned, mouth falling open as Namjoon pressed against his prostate. Namjoon kissed the moan right out of his mouth, Seokjin's hand pressing to Namjoon's lower back, urging him on with a,
"Please, oh God, I can't, Namjoon, please."
"You're so beautiful."
Namjoon breathed into his mouth, kissing him deep, fucking him deeper. He didn't like it when people told him he was beautiful. It was a superficial comment to make, reducing him to nothing but lucky in a genetics lottery. He didn't like it, usually. Now, he shivered, arching into Namjoon, their bodies slick with sweat as they tangled together, their mouths sealed. He reached down between their bodies, finding himself leaking. His back arched. Namjoon thrust in harder and said,
"God, the second I saw you, I knew I was fucked. I stood no chance, not even a little. You're perfect. God, you're so perfect."
"Juna,"
he breathed, and Namjoon watched him, just watched him, wouldn't look away. So Seokjin didn't either. They watched, greedily, hungrily, as they started to make each other come, locked in the embrace. Namjoon's hips working faster, with more purpose, with more force. And Seokjin's nails dug into Namjoon's mid-back hard enough to bruise, while with the other, he touched himself, trying to match Namjoon's pace. Namjoon worked them both right up to the edge. God, the edge. Them both hanging there, chasing it, looking at each other, both knowing they were there, so close. Just a little more. Just a little. Seokjin came with a sharp cry, and Namjoon thrust into him hard and followed. And they looked at each other, mouths chasing, then colliding, kissing through the orgasms. His body trembled in the aftershocks. Why was he shaking? Namjoon was kissing his mouth, kissing his cheeks, and Seokjin was sliding his fingers in the wet roots of Namjoon's hair. They were as entwined post-sex as they had been during it. Seokjin's legs encircled Namjoon's waist, unwilling to part. Namjoon was running fingers up and down his sides, slowly, soothingly, caressing. They were kissing, a wet slide of tongues, of swollen lips.
"Spend the night?" Namjoon whispered. "Yeah, okay," he agreed. "Okay."
It came to him in the morning, standing in the crowded subway, people shoving around him as he tried to maintain his hold of the bar above his head. He was wearing the same clothes as the day before, the same silk shirt and the same coat, but Namjoon had given him a jumper for insulation and pulled the beanie back onto his head too. He'd showered, borrowed Namjoon's toothbrush. No breakfast. He was running late, the company ignoring the holiday for rehearsals when the opening night was just a week and a bit away. They had swayed into each other nearly as they kissed at the door. Namjoon had been meek, gentle. "Happy New Year," Seokjin had murmured into one of their kisses, and Namjoon had smiled against his mouth. "It's very rare to start your year with a 10, you know," he'd said, wondering why he couldn't just shut the fuck up. "Very well done. I am impressed."
"Thank you," Namjoon had smiled. "I try."
Arms warm around his waist tightened.
"So I'll see you tonight then?"
"Yeah," he'd said. Instead of cracking jokes about Namjoon being desperate. Instead of saying he was very busy. Instead of any of those things. "Yeah, I'll see you tonight," he said, and pulled Namjoon into yet another kiss. Namjoon pinched his ass, though, and Seokjin squirmed, laughing into the kiss. "Fucking stop it!" I don't think you want me to, Namjoon teased. And then they'd made out some more. Seokjin had still been so dazed, fucked out, blissed out, running high on post-orgasm hormones hours later somehow, that he hadn't questioned any of it. He now closed his eyes, swayed to the movements of the carriage around him. He felt Namjoon inside him, felt the ache of bruises on him, from hands, from a mouth. He closed his eyes, and Namjoon was there, above him, gaze fiery but affectionate, kisses lingering and deep. God, Seokjin felt so content, so at peace, so happy. And that was when he was able to name the ache, the burn, the scratching inside his chest. That was what he hadn't been able to figure out. That was what had left him out of balance. He'd dragged Namjoon out of Hoseok's party, raw and aching like the mess that he was, and Namjoon was so endlessly, unnecessarily patient and kind. And then they'd... The carriage came to a shaky stop. People around him shoved past. It had been years since he'd done it, so it had taken him a while to recognize it. But there it was, the truth of it undeniable. They'd made love. He missed his stop. Seokjin was nervous, for what felt like the first time in his life. The opening night of the Vacancy of Spirit had arrived, and it was a full house of press and arts personalities and other invitees. Seokjin had been given 3 complimentary tickets for family and friends. Jimin, Jungkook, and Taehyung, obviously. But Taehyung had called him 2 days prior about how he'd double-booked and had use of the photo development lab at the college that night, and if he cancelled, he'd be back on the waiting list for a month. And Taehyung was so sorry. He was an awful friend. He'd come on the second night. So he'd had a spare ticket, and he'd texted Namjoon if he'd like to come or whatever. And Namjoon said, "Of course. In case you collapse or something. I know all your lines, Hyung. I'll jump right on that stage. Wink." And that was why Seokjin was nervous, because Namjoon was in the audience with Jimin and Jungkook, neither of whom, perhaps worryingly, had really questioned Namjoon's inclusion. They'd all hung out enough together, Seokjin figured. Now he was in makeup. He had the costume on, and the backstage was chaotic on opening night. Jimin messaged him. "We're here! I am excited! Wow, good seats! Namjoon has brought a gift for your imminent success? I thought I was the president of your fan club. How dare he? It's actually super cute. Wait till you see." Seokjin squirmed in his chair, the makeup artist huffing at him. A gift? It was so couple-y, and they were not a couple. However, he'd been staying at Namjoon's a lot since Hoseok's party, because somehow having a literal breakdown in front of Namjoon hadn't made Namjoon run to the hills. Instead, it had shifted something between them. They hadn't delved into it further. They both knew what had been said. And now it felt like they were in silent agreement. But over what, he was left unsure. But their agreement included all kinds. How they cuddled on the couch of Namjoon's living room as Seokjin patiently took Namjoon through a century of iconic Asian cinema. Spring in a Small Town, Kagemusha. Or how Namjoon had somehow started reading Greta's biography aloud to him in the evenings, with him pressed to Namjoon's side, Namjoon with a hand brushing his hair, holding the book with the other. Seokjin pausing to ask for translations for words he didn't know. Or how they'd been having a lot of sex. Which, fine, they had not had a problem in that department so far, but the sex was just different now. It lasted longer and was more thought out somehow, yet not thought about at all. Sometimes the sex started hours before they even did anything, from a look, from a touch, and they both knew. And then it simmered under their skins. But they were both fine waiting, for the movie to finish, for Namjoon to be done with a music edit. And then, however they proceeded, most of the time it seemed to finish with them laid out in missionary, the most boring of all sex positions, that was producing some of the most intense orgasms he'd ever had. Namjoon had the most open and earnest look on his face afterwards, tender and soft. They'd curl up in each other, sometimes to sleep, sometimes to talk. But they didn't talk about these changes. Now Namjoon was somewhere in the audience, had come with gifts, and Seokjin wanted to go find him and say something absurd like, "You were a gift." And he'd mean it too. The universe had just dropped Kim Namjoon into his lap somehow. What the hell was he supposed to do with that? He was restless and nervous. He wanted to do well. He wanted to impress Namjoon, not the critics. So many warning bells were going off in his head, and he hated this. He hated feeling vulnerable in any way at all. Stupid goddamn Namjoon. He kept waiting for the calming herbs he'd taken to kick in, because now, with a full house, he was terrified. 10 minutes, everyone! The director's assistant Jong-suk was shouting. And Seokjin murmured his opening line again and again, a dialogue he was to have with his best friend stood on the other side of the stage. When did it start? That's what I ask myself the most. When did we start? When what? You know what. When did we start to destroy each other? What? What's funny about it? It's funny because you think we're done. Namjoon had come in a literal fucking suit. Black and sleek, with cufflinks, a white dress shirt underneath, and polished black shoes, and his silvery hair slicked back neatly. No tie, at least, but the top two buttons of the shirt were suggestively undone. Jungkook and Jimin had dressed up too, in black slacks and semi-iron shirts, but they looked scruffy next to Namjoon's efforts. Hell, even Seokjin did, but he had the excuse of just having spent the evening on stage and then quickly changing for the afterparty. His performance had gone down well, from what he could nervously gather. From backstage, he quickly called his parents, who were thrilled that it had gone okay, and said they'd get tickets to come see him. He hadn't failed, in any case. He hadn't forgotten his lines or made mistakes. He wasn't a failure. He wasn't nothing. He wasn't worthless. He thought of Christmas, of mixing drinks in the kitchen, of not speaking to anyone for days, of finding darkness within himself he didn't even know was there. Christmas seemed like another lifetime altogether. Jimin had apparently bawled at the end of the performance, and Jungkook had spent a few good minutes post-show just hugging him. "Well, no one told me the play would break my heart," Jimin now objected, while Jungkook patted his shoulder. "I accidentally asked Jimin if he was crying, and he started crying harder," Namjoon admitted. Jimin blinked quickly, eyes on the ceiling, as he fought back tears. "I'm fine," Jimin insisted. The afterparty was taking place in a bar one block away from the theatre, champagne flowing freely. Some press there, critics, the entire cast too, the director fluttering and preening and soaking up the praise. Seokjin didn't have much time for his friends because of it. He needed to mingle, get his own share of attention. People were trying to catch his attention. But before he left them, Namjoon handed him a present. A glass flower with white petals, yellow stamen, and a long green stem.
"It's a lily," they said, Namjoon explained. "I don't know much about flowers, but they die, so what's the point? This way, I thought, you can keep it forever."
"Let me keep you forever," Seokjin wanted to counter. In the same manner, he was convinced Namjoon was a gift. But Jimin and Jungkook were looking puzzled and at each other, raising eyebrows. So all Seokjin could do was say, "Thank you, I'll take good care of it." He worked the room energetically, received a few business cards, was asked for a few interviews for arts magazines, and so he ended up writing his email address on napkins in a rush, bowing and thanking. Every now and then, he looked around in search of Namjoon. Each time, he found Namjoon quickly enough, sipping on champagne, talking to his friends. Sometimes when he looked over, Namjoon was already looking at him. He knew what madness felt like. There was a moment outside, when they all finally left, in which he hovered, and Namjoon hovered, and Jungkook stood there with disbelief all over his face, while Jimin appeared to be fighting off a shit-eating grin. "Thanks for coming," Seokjin said in the end, clutching the glass flower. Namjoon nodded as a taxi slowed down for him. Seokjin wanted to get into the car. He knew, distantly, that Namjoon also wanted him to get in the car. Namjoon opened the door to the back, looked at the three of them, paused. "Good job," he said, dimples on his cheeks as he smiled. "Your performance was incandescent."
"Good words for a mountain man," he shot back.
Namjoon smirked, and Seokjin exhaled, shakily, clutching the lily with both hands when the car finally drove off. Jungkook and Jimin were staring at him.
"Okay," Jimin said.
"Okay, wow, wow."
"What?"
That vibe between you two," Jimin said, eyes flashing with excitement.
"There was no vibe."
"There was a vibe," Jungkook argued.
"I was being nice," he protested. "It's called having manners. Who raised you two, honestly?"
"Wait, I did."
"Okay, I did a bad job, I see that now," he rambled, nudging them towards the subway station. He was glad that it was cold because it explained the blush on his cheeks.
His friends didn't let up, but babbled as they walked.
"Oh, the staring! And there were looks! Jungkook-y, there were definite looks!
Like he'd come to a wedding reception in that suit. Did you see his thighs?"
"And don't pretend you weren't looking, because you were, Hyung. You..."
"Ooh, and already at your birthday the vibe was weird, but this is another..."
"Hard eyes, that's it. Oh my god, that's sexual tension!"
Seokjin sucked in a breath through his teeth.
"Right, okay."
"Nothing's going on, honestly. We're just, you know, friendly."
Jimin's jaw dropped.
"Oh my god, you're full on banging him, aren't you?"
"You never want to half bang anyone, Chim Chim. What have I taught you?"
The joke wasn't enough to get him off the hook. Jimin was off.
"But we tell each other everything, Hyung. I tell you all my crushes, always have, even the embarrassing ones. And you always tell us when you hook up with guys. Why wouldn't you..."
Jungkook abruptly stopped in his tracks, wide-eyed and looking at the glass flower Seokjin was still holding, gently, with care.
"You like him?"
Seokjin's stomach dropped. Jimin gasped dramatically and clutched Jungkook's arm for support.
"Oh, he does! He likes him! Oh my god, after all this time, you actually like a boy! And out of everyone, it's that freakishly tall music nerd that you already boned, like, months ago!"
Jungkook turned to Jimin, looking pale.
"They're not just hooking up. They're courting. This is courtship."
Another delighted gasp from Jimin.
"Okay, look," he interrupted. "We've been hanging out a little, all right? That's not a crime. That's none of your business. I mean, it's just some hanging out. Like, that is all."
He was too nervous to talk about this.
He didn't know. He wasn't sure. God, why had he invited Namjoon to opening night? A rookie mistake if there ever was one.
"Full on banging," Jungkook said to Jimin in a husky stage whisper.
"We have to text Tae," Jimin said excitedly, already with his phone out.
"My god, can you not?" he groaned,
and kept heading to the station. His friends followed, bickering. Seokjin admitted to nothing further, no matter how much he was pestered. Why would he tell? To set himself up to look like a fool when nothing ever came of it? No, thank you. He didn't want anyone to know what he felt. He barely wanted himself to know what he felt. Childish of him, just letting his feelings show like that. And Jimin would probably tell Yoongi, and Yoongi would probably loop it back to Namjoon, and Seokjin was going to look like a teenager with an embarrassing crush, all blushing and starry-eyed. God, he hated that. Namjoon would drop him then, at least, if not sooner. When he emerged from the subway 3 blocks from his house, he had messages from Namjoon.
Okay, I've got a confession. I owe you one from way back, right? You were damn sexy on stage. I couldn't believe I'm sleeping with you. It was pretty hot.
He smirked at the lit-up screen, typing as he walked. Stop objectifying me. Also, you owe me 2 confessions, so I need 1 more. He pushed the phone into his pocket, feeling warm despite the cold. At least opening night had gone well, he told himself in the lift up to his apartment. Count your blessings and all that. Now he just needed to keep delivering that performance for the next 2.5 months, stay focused, don't get distracted by pretty boys with dimples and melodic voices, don't get dragged into the whirlwind of hope and what-ifs and maybes, don't assume too much, don't assume anything, don't... He stopped in the corridor leading to his apartment. Oh, Namjoon was smooth. Namjoon clearly thought he was so fucking smooth. What a move to pull on Seokjin. What a cruel, calculated move to... Namjoon sat on the floor by his door in his very nice suit, knees raised, saw him coming and smiled.
That subway takes forever, huh?
He asked, with an easy, teasing tilt of his head. And hope, like a parasite, grew. Seokjin spent the next few weeks avoiding any situation that brought his friends, Namjoon, and himself in the same room together. Even so, it somehow became apparent to their friends that they were, casually, completely casually, seeing each other, sometimes. Seokjin made it very clear that they were not a couple, thank you, but 2 adults who at times spent an evening together with sex, yes, quite often, and that was all. And now, at least, he was able to say that he couldn't come over because he was seeing Namjoon, and then there'd be catcalls and wolf whistles, and he'd hang up on Jimin or Taehyung. Jungkook didn't tease. Jungkook could stay. But he probably shouldn't have been making himself so utterly comfortable in Namjoon's bed. He shouldn't have been wasting a Saturday morning letting Namjoon fuck him. Nice and slow, and then hard, harder, but God, so deep. And then not getting out of bed, either of them, but curling up together in post-coital glow, skin warm and a bit sweaty, Seokjin's body thrumming with the pleasant pulse of release. Seokjin kept an arm tight around Namjoon, keeping Namjoon pressed to his front, nosing the hair at the nape of Namjoon's neck. He was the older one here after all, and insisted on being the big spoon. Namjoon was very content with that. It felt like Seokjin was taking some kind of stupid hormonal drug. He was high a lot of the time. Namjoon was now breathing out evenly, sounding like he was about to fall back asleep after their morning sex. The day was slowly brightening up outside, but that seemed distant. So when are you going to brag about it? Seokjin asked, breaking the silence. Namjoon jerked a little, pulling out of sleep.
About what?
About how you got me on my back in the end? Namjoon huffed sleepily.
Why would I brag about that? That's just for us.
And then Namjoon was already back asleep, and Seokjin focused on his breaths. Namjoon had always said that whatever they did was private, was just for the 2 of them.
But now that us was different. Exhilarating and terrifying at the same time.
Seokjin maybe wanted them to be together. God, what the fuck did that even mean? Oh, he hated all of it. He'd already tried being in a relationship and it had been a fucking shit show in the end. He longed for the start of their arrangement. The first handful of times that were hormone driven, when he could just let himself get wrecked without reading into the way he pulled Namjoon against him. When they finally got out of bed some hours later, Seokjin thought about the imprints of people that Namjoon had talked about once. He was making them coffee as he listened to the sound of Namjoon rapping in the shower. And he smiled because it was sweet and dorky and so Namjoon-like. And the world seemed brighter then, with Namjoon rapping enthusiastically, sounding defiant and sharp and like he was enjoying himself. And Seokjin hoped, vaguely, that the sound would be one of the imprints he'd retain of Namjoon to remember when he was old. When Namjoon had long since disappeared into the gaps between decades that just tore people apart. The thought, which had started as sweet, turned sour quickly, filling him with dread and anguish that he couldn't place. It haunted him all day, dissipating only the following evening when he saw Namjoon again. What he really wanted, he thought, was for everything to stay as it was. That was all. Freeze it in time. Keep it easy and carefree. Keep them snoozing in bed after sex, forever aged 26 and 24, with the steady, young, fearful hope beating inside his chest. Give him that moment forever. Him standing on the edge of the cliff without ever having to jump in. But Seokjin maybe wanted to jump in, and it was awful. It was like someone had ripped open his chest and sprinkled it with goddamn glitter and heart confetti, and then tried to seal him back up again, badly. And now glitter and confetti were leaking all over, making his insides tingle. No one ever talked about how powerful hope was. The world ran on hope. He didn't know if Namjoon was seeing other people, although he'd be mystified as to where Namjoon was squeezing them in when they saw each other so much. But nevertheless, he did not ask. Because what if he did? They'd become an item, maybe. And then what? Meeting the parents, moving in together? And when the excitement of that faded, what would be left? The boring everyday, the grocery runs, the bills, the gradual realization that the chemistry had faded and Namjoon would leave him, trade him in for something better. And then what? Seokjin would let go, right? Namjoon's advice? He'd let Namjoon go and keep some memories, the good ones, to keep him warm and move on. Find someone new, rinse and repeat. No. No, he couldn't. If he said nothing, nothing had to change. It was good. It was fine like this. If he said nothing, he was still safe. And the thing between them wasn't a relationship, and so he had nothing to lose. Maybe it was something like a relationship, but not actually one. Could they have that, maybe? Besides, Seokjin had no way of knowing if a relationship was something Namjoon was even interested in. Thankfully, the performances kept going, and Hoseok and Namjoon were busy getting ready for their Tokyo trip, and Jimin and Jungkook had a dance competition coming up that kept them somewhat preoccupied. And so, a few nights a week, he'd go to Namjoon's after the play, or Namjoon would come to his apartment. In between, they messaged each other, called often, and Seokjin didn't feel trapped by it. And at home, he kept the glass lily in his bookcase. He cleared a space for it, placed it in front of his favourite plays, and he looked at it often, on the nights when they didn't see each other. Everything was good. Tender like a flower, maybe, blossoming slowly,
taking its time, too fragile for direct sunlight. If Seokjin didn't think about it, if he let no one ask or talk about it, maybe this would be fine for both of them. It'd be enough.
The next week, Namjoon came to see the play again, unannounced this time. Seokjin was in the dressing room, wiping off the smudge makeup, exhausted after the evening's performance, and chatting to Seha and some of the others, when a knock against the doorframe turned his head. Namjoon was not in a suit this time, but baggy jeans and a hoodie, with a bomber jacket thrown on top, still looking handsome as hell. And Seokjin was rising to meet him before he'd registered much else.
"Who let you backstage?"
"I've got connections."
Namjoon shrugged modestly.
"Oh yeah, with who?"
"I'm kind of banging the director, if you must know."
"You have met her, right? I mean, I'm scared for your dick." He deadpanned, hands settling on Namjoon's waist, with Namjoon already stepping up to him.
And then Seokjin became distantly aware of quite a few of his co-stars observing them with mirth and curiosity. He tugged Namjoon into the corridor with him. Namjoon and Yoongi were the junior producers for Girl Love's next album, but the production had hit a wall that evening, artistic differences amongst the group, and everyone had been sent home to cool off until the next day.
"Those women are damn strong-headed," Namjoon said. "When we recorded Hey Cutie, it was all bubblegum and daisies, and they still seem like kids. Now they've topped the charts and are taking zero shit from their managers or from us. I kind of love it, though, how they've taken control."
But it was still exhausting, Namjoon said. So, a trip to the theatre. Why not? Since Seokjin's play was about to start. Seokjin had not expected to see Namjoon and had promised the cast they'd go for drinks. It was the director's assistant, Jong-suk's birthday.
"Oh, but do you want to join?" he offered, since Namjoon was there anyway.
And then he realized it was an odd question. They didn't go out, the two of them, with other people. But Namjoon just nodded.
"Yeah, sounds good. I'd kill for a drink."
They ended up in a small hidden bar Seokjin hadn't known existed. Nothing flashy or expensive, but cozy with low ceilings, dark wooden furniture, blues playing. A handful of tables occupied, but their entourage found one empty at the back. Seokjin talked to the other male lead of the play, Soo, while Namjoon was sat on the chair next to his, but was talking to the birthday boy, Jong-suk, and Seha instead. Girl Love somehow came up, and Jong-suk was a huge fan, it turned out, knowing the names of each of the 9 members. Jong-suk started begging for Namjoon to get him autographs. Seokjin was having a good time. Namjoon mixed well with the thespians, was funny and witty and charming. Seokjin had a hand on Namjoon's thigh, he realized, with no idea when he'd placed it there. He pulled it back, offering to get more beers, and when he returned, Namjoon's arm somehow slipped low around his waist, Namjoon still talking to Seha, not even looking at him. Seokjin began to wonder how long he could do this. Seha was chattering.
"Like, I take off my makeup after a performance and look like an old mop that's been used in a prison shower room," she said, motioning to Seokjin. "But this guy, I can't even tell when he's in or out of makeup. How's that fair?"
He's just that pretty, I suppose," Namjoon said and looked at him.
Seha rolled her eyes and faked gagging behind Namjoon. Namjoon did not even notice. Seokjin barely noticed either, meeting Namjoon's warm gaze. Namjoon's eyes dropped to his mouth, then back to his eyes again, a lazy smile on his lips.
"You're cute, huh?"
"Handsome, you mean?" he corrected,
though his chest felt tight.
"Handsome and charming and devastating."
Namjoon grinned, getting out his phone.
"Come on, be cute."
And Namjoon raised his phone, camera turned on them, and Seokjin let himself be pulled in. Namjoon winked at the camera, Seokjin pressed to his side, and he posed as Namjoon took a quick selection of pictures. For a second,
Seokjin wanted to pull Namjoon into a kiss and have that be captured too. Then Jeonseok was back with another girl-love inquiry, and Namjoon was, once more, citing the confidentiality agreement, as Seokjin realized that Namjoon had taken the first and thus far only pictures of the two of them. And in a world where people were constantly snapping shots, that wasn't a huge deal, was it? Except nothing they had done so far. None of the late nights, early mornings, the TV watching or cooking or eating or sex or cuddling or any of it, none of that had been recorded in any way before. There had been no proof. They could vanish without leaving trails. Now there was proof. And he saw it briefly on the screen. Namjoon winking at the phone, nose adorably a little wrinkled, an arm around Seokjin, who was leaning into him and serving face to the camera. They looked like a real couple, he was shocked to realize. He remembered how, for a split second, he'd wanted to kiss Namjoon, and he thought he could almost see it in that final shot, when he looked at Namjoon instead of at the camera, and he didn't want to read his own expression at all, but there it was. Soft and longing, eager and warm. Eyes cast towards Namjoon's mouth. He breathed in unsteadily. There they were, on the phone, before the screen went dark. Exhibit A, Your Honor. If Jimin or someone else saw it, he'd be finished. Namjoon got a call 10 minutes later. Girl Love had reached an agreement and were feeling inspired and needed the producers back ASAP. It was 12:45.
Music never sleeps.
Namjoon sighed with a roll of his shoulders, standing up and getting ready to go. Jeonseok stared at him in awe. And as Seokjin realized that he had no idea how to say goodbye to Namjoon in front of people, privately in the mornings, they had started trading slow kisses at the door. Namjoon leaned down to peck his cheek.
Call me tomorrow. I'll message you when I'm up.
And then Namjoon glanced at the rest with a smile.
Bye, guys. Nice meeting you.
Seokjin was fucked. He was utterly fucked. Jeonseok wouldn't shut up about it. I can't believe your boyfriend is hanging out with Girl Love and you've told me nothing. Oh, we're not, Seokjin said automatically, and then faltered. You know, he finished lamely, and took a nervous sip of his beer. That was a lie, he realized. Namjoon had just delivered a 13 out of 10 boyfriend performance, ticked all the boxes of funny and sweet and attentive and accomplished, sexy and smart, every damn thing. His friends were impressed, more than. His phone buzzed. Namjoon had barely left, but had already messaged him.
You were right. You're definitely handsome and devastating.
Seokjin hesitated briefly before typing. Thank you. It bears repeating. Now go hang out with some idols. No big.
I'd rather hang out with you. Less chances of choking on pink hair.
Just so you know, I've had pink hair, and I owned it.
Really? I need those pictures. Fuck, I bet you looked hot.
Naturally.
Forever modest. You're lucky you're so cute. Wink. Talk to you tomorrow, babe.
Cozy. Couple-y. He thought back to the time Namjoon had asked him who he was having coffee with and he had nearly freaked out. He should have been freaking out. He wasn't. He was anxious and excited and hopeful. Your Honor, he was guilty. Guilty as charged. It was a complete reversion to being aged 12. Does he like me too? God, does he want to, like, hold hands or something? Seokjin could do this. Maybe. With Namjoon. He could, maybe, step off the cliff and just hope for the goddamn best because maybe he was safe to do it with Namjoon. If Namjoon felt this anxious hope too. God, maybe.
Seokjin had been to the studio a few times now, had dropped in after the show to wait for Namjoon because the studio was walking distance from the theatre. He'd had his apprehensions about it, because going to Namjoon's work to wait for him seemed like a lot. But then those lines had become so blurred already. When Girl Love had been in the building, he'd waited outside in the cold, and Namjoon had snapped at that.
Yeah, security and confidentiality. Seokjin, you can't catch a cold when you're on stage every night. Besides, Girl Love are finished with vocals.
Seokjin hadn't seen any of the members, just the musicians left behind in the live room. And it hadn't been that bad the first time he'd dropped in. Yoongi had been in the control room with some musicians and their senior producers, and Namjoon had pulled him in and said,
"Guys, this is Seokjin."
None of it had felt like a big deal. Yoongi was in no way surprised. He too knew they were hanging out. And so Seokjin had sat on the couch of the control room for 20 minutes, scrolling Instagram and waiting for Namjoon to wrap up, humming along to the catchy pop song that he was not allowed to record or in any way sing outside. Going there hadn't been a huge deal in the end, so he'd done it again a couple of times. It was convenient if they were meeting up. The label had their offices on one floor of a tall business building, with the studios on another. As Seokjin now approached, he kept his head ducked in the freezing wind, a scarf wrapped tight around him, with January snow falling. He was glowing from another good performance, from the reviews that had started coming out. He'd gotten a few calls, and had been approached for a potential next project. Not a sleazy call asking him to do porn, or modelling, or a yoga commercial, but real acting. He wasn't supposed to see Namjoon that evening. Namjoon had said they'd be busy at the studio, but he wanted to drop in just for 5 minutes and tell him the good news. "Oh, I was just walking past," he'd say, and Namjoon would smile with a,
"Of course, anytime."
The receptionist in the lobby recognized him and waved him through, and the lift zoomed him up to the 7th floor. The label's logos were plastered on the walls with pictures of artists they'd recorded. Girl Love was prominently displayed in their iconic Hey Cutie outfits. It was almost 11 and the corridors were empty, and Seokjin knocked on the studio door before entering the control room. He'd expected Namjoon, Yoongi and a few of the other techs, but instead, only Yoongi was sat by the mixing board, big headphones around his neck, looking bored and on his phone before glancing up at him briefly.
"Hi, Jinyoung."
Yoongi looked back down, and then his head whipped up a second time.
"Oh, Seokjin."
He tugged on his scarf, looking through the glass into the live room where Seokjin had seen musicians last time. Now there were only two people there, Namjoon with his back to them, talking to a pretty girl.
"Ooh, a girl love?" Jeonsook would die of envy.
"Hey, you think he can spare 5 minutes?" he asked, shivering from the cold. Not the nerves, not the excited, fearful hope in him that was mocking him whenever he saw Namjoon, saying, "You are whipped. He's got you wrapped around his little finger. Just look at you." Yoongi said, looking at him, looking at Namjoon through the glass, at him again. And Seokjin didn't understand until he took a second look at the woman Namjoon was with. He knew who she was. He knew exactly who she was. But in the moment of utter disbelief, all he managed was,
"Is that
Miss Cutie? Yeah,"
Yoongi said lamely.
"Miss Cutie. Yuna. Yuna from the pool picture at Hoseok's apartment. The one where Yuna beamed a happy smile, perfect, and a younger Namjoon was with her, with a bad haircut and in love, and Yuna's hand had been on his stomach, holding him, him holding her." Yuna was now properly dressed. A black skirt, a yellow jumper, silky black hair tied up in a neat bun, and she looked older, but was unquestionably beautiful. Seokjin didn't understand what she was doing there. She wasn't a musician, a tech, or a member of Girl Love. She was Namjoon's ex, the one who'd cheated on him, and they didn't talk or keep in touch, or so he thought. But there she was, and... She stepped up to Namjoon in the live room, right up to his space, chocolate eyes on him. And Namjoon pulled her into his arms, like he'd done it 1,000 times. Of course he had. And it was a real hug. Namjoon holding her close, face pressed to her hair, intimate and loving. The two were in the live room with their arms around each other, and Yuna was there, her head pressed to Namjoon's chest, him nuzzling into her, and she was moments from kissing him. That was clear, and Seokjin couldn't be there. He shook his head, backing out. He couldn't look at that. He couldn't. Yoongi pressed a button on the mixing board. Namjoon! But did the two break apart? Seokjin didn't know, because he'd walked out, leaving the two in their soundproofed cocoon. And then he was at the lift, furiously pressing the arrow down. He should have known. God, of course! What the hell was he? Foolish. So foolish. What an idiot. He heard steps, running in the corridor. His lift arrived, and he pressed to get to the ground floor, the doors closing just as his name was called. But he shook his head, because no, he couldn't. He absolutely would not. The choked breath he let out was echoed back to him by the small lift. God, had he really thought Namjoon was in it too? As if Namjoon had ever considered him as anything other than an easy screw. Namjoon had indulged him, pitied him, thought he was too pretty not to at least fuck. And he'd made himself so available, had let Namjoon see just how desperate he'd been for even the smallest bit of attention. The lift stopped on the fourth floor. A tired-looking lady with a mop and bucket stepped in, giving him only a side glance. Seokjin tried to breathe, eyes closed. He'd known the hope was just a parasite, made up by his own vanity and desperation, by how lonely he was. Namjoon knew it too. The doors opened to the lobby at last. A very out-of-breath Namjoon was stood outside the lift, holding his side and panting. Seokjin, he said. The lady frowning at them both before shuffling out of their way. Namjoon had run down 7 floors. Yuna was presumably in the studio still. Seokjin, Namjoon repeated, a little more calmly but pleadingly. There was pity in his voice. Never pity. He could take anything but. I can't do this, he said, and rushed past, beelining across the lobby, pulling in the lapels of his coat, head hanging low. Seokjin, wait! Wait, come on! It was still snowing outside, the wind slashing the air, the pavement quiet but for the cars passing. Namjoon, coatless, followed him, grabbed his arm, and twisted him around. Stop freaking out, Namjoon said to him. And how dare he assume... She called me like an hour ago. I didn't know, all right? Stop freaking out. I don't care, he snapped, furious that Namjoon was telling him what he felt. It's fine. It's fine. A hard lump had burrowed deep into his chest, and now it hurt. It all hurt in a way he hadn't felt in years, and he was so angry he'd let himself end up in this position again. It's fine. You can go and be with her then. It's what you want, right? Look, it's fine. This, us? Come on, this was never a thing. Namjoon stared at him, impossibly beautiful, with snowflakes catching onto his hair. Namjoon let go of his arm.
I hate it when you say that. I hate it when you say we're nothing. I don't believe you. I've never believed you. It's bullshit.
Seokjin was momentarily stunned. Was Namjoon angry? After Seokjin had walked in on whatever the hell that had been? He reeled,
You think it's bullshit? Really? Fuck, that's tough, because bullshit is all I fucking got.
He turned to leave and then swirled back, argument ready.
What the fuck? How am I the bad guy?
Namjoon stared him down. I have done nothing wrong.
Nothing? That's nothing?
What about letting Seokjin hope? What about that? He wasn't an idiot. He knew he'd lose each and every comparison to Yuna. They talked about this. What was it that Namjoon had said? Right, that his heart remembered his love for her. Namjoon's heart remembered. And now that snaked and slithered into Seokjin's veins.
I know you still have feelings for her.
Yeah, Namjoon said, breath rising in the air. Yeah, I still do.
Seokjin gritted his teeth because there it was, the truth. Why had Namjoon stayed and persisted and weaseled his way in? Why couldn't Namjoon have just left him the hell alone? That would have been less cruel. That would...
So what? Now she wants to get back together?
He questioned. But he knew the answer and how pathetic he sounded, all upset over it.
Fuck! Of course she does! What the fuck was I thinking? It's fine. It's all fine.
Seokjin, Namjoon said quietly, trying to hold his gaze. But he looked down at Namjoon's shoes. No, he couldn't do this. Any of this. It hurt too much. She wants to be friends. Just friends. Just friends. Right. Sure. You don't have to lie to me. I know what that means. It means we're friends. Sun-hoon was just friends with Kanu, too. I know what that means, he said, unable to stop his voice from shaking.
Namjoon stilled.
That's not fair. That's...
Namjoon paused, features sharp.
You can't control who I'm friends with. It doesn't work like that. We can't... We... Look, I'm telling you, nothing happened. I'm telling you that you didn't see what you think you saw. And you gotta trust me. You just gotta...
No, he said, shaking his head. No. No to all of...
There'd been no band. Namjoon had said there'd be a band. Namjoon had told him he was busy. He hadn't been. Yuna had been there.
Maybe it was their tryst. Maybe this was just one meeting of dozens. Maybe... Oh my god.
And that late night call at the bar on Jeonsuk's birthday. Girl Love supposedly back in the studio at midnight.
Namjoon just bolting to get up and go.
A booty call.
Fuck! Right there in front of Seokjin's ignorant, stupid fucking face!
He was no one's fool. Refused to be one. He remembered asking Sun-hoon once, just offhand.
You're hanging out with that Kanu guy a lot. Should I be jealous? Ha ha, just a joke.
And Sun-hoon, with wide eyes,
no, of course not. Come on.
Fast forward a few months. Seokjin alone. Sun-hoon with Kanu. He wasn't going to be fooled ever again. He would never be blindsided by hope or affection or love.
I can't, he whispered. Let's just forget about...
What are you doing? Namjoon asked in disbelief, stepping closer to him. Seokjin, what do you think you're doing? Are you really gonna say forget about us? Namjoon sounded angry. But that was exactly what he wanted to say. The words locked up in his throat. Was there even an us? Had it ever existed? Namjoon was visibly angry now.
If you never put any work into a relationship, if you don't deal with the hard parts, then you can be damn sure it will always fall apart. Running away isn't a way to deal with anything.
Look, we both know this was never...
And is that my fault?
How do I ask, Seokjin, when I know you'll bolt the second I do? And that's exactly what you're doing now. So I never asked for anything. And then you berate me for Yuna and decide it's too hard? That's when you get to decide we're just forgetting about this.
Seokjin stood in the middle of the pavement, feeling small and schooled.
Other people put themselves on the line too, you know. Other people put their feelings and their hearts on the line too. And I have put my heart on the line for you. It's not just you who's afraid of getting hurt.
Seokjin had drawn in on himself, shoulders hunched, shivering. Namjoon stopped, stared at him.
You got nothing?
Namjoon asked, challenging, and was right. Seokjin had nothing. Namjoon shook his head.
You know what? Call me when you figure out what the hell you want from me, all right? Because right now, this nothing that you and I have, it's too hard for me to.
Namjoon headed back into the building, breath rising in the air and snow in his hair. The headlights of a passing car lit him up, and for a brief second, Seokjin was sure Namjoon was made of hard, unforgiving gold.
Seokjin was fine. He was always fine. He'd been alone before, and he'd be alone now, and nothing had changed. It was good, really, that he'd caught Namjoon with Yuna. It was good to know now, before he'd made the mistake of getting too invested, of assuming that the two of them had shared anything. This was all fine. He was fucking great, even. He took the subway home, texted around to see who'd come out, stopped for a bottle of vodka from a 7-Eleven, and went home and got dolled up. He put on some eyeliner, sprayed and messed up his hair, put on some goddamn lip gloss, a loose cream shirt that showed off his chest and collarbones, and pulled on tight black jeans, finally adorning himself with flimsy earrings and a thin silver bracelet. He finished a quarter of the bottle to get a buzz going. At the club, he met Jungkook, the only one available for a last-minute Thursday night out. Students, you had to give it to him. Seokjin hadn't brought a jacket. Just stepped out of the taxi in his thin, nearly see-through shirt. It was still snowing. The vodka helped. Jungkook flushed at the sight of him. Jungkook mumbled, almost embarrassed, as they joined the queue outside the club.
Why aren't you... I mean, you look great.
Thank you, he said, slinging an arm around Jungkook's shoulders, his breath rising in the freezing air. We're gonna have some fun. We're celebrating.
Celebrating what?
Freedom! Life! All of it! God, let's skip this goddamn queue. We are hot! He grabbed Jungkook's hand and pulled them to the front, giving the bouncer a daring arch of his eyebrow. Double eye candy. Come on. The bouncer checked them out and nodded his appreciation. But how old is he? The guy asked, motioning at Jungkook, who dutifully pulled out his ID. They were soon marching in. He hugged Jungkook from behind, eager and buzzed.
Let's have some fun, Gookie. I'm young and beautiful and I want to dance. Can we dance? Let's do some shots.
The club was not a rap club, but full on techno and bass. The dance floor was packed, and they did two tequila shots each before sliding into the crowd, Jungkook after some coaxing. But they were having a great time. Jungkook beamed and got out his phone for some pictures, and Seokjin put on the happiest face he could muster, grinning at the camera, arm around Jungkook's shoulders.
You showed what you wanted other people to believe, Namjoon had said, or something along those lines.
Jungkook posted the pictures, and Seokjin hoped Namjoon would see them, see how he was fine, how he'd already forgotten about it. They were both dancing, Jungkook's movements smooth and never missing a beat. The air was hot, and Seokjin's skin began to feel clammy. It didn't take long for a guy to dance up on him. A bit short, but damn stacked. A gym bodybuilder type, with a nice smile, huge arms.
You want to feel my abs? The guy asked, grabbed Seokjin's hand and placed it on his stomach.
Holy shit, he said, in genuine appreciation. Hell yeah, man, the guy said. That shit is tight. You want to grind up on me some? Well, since he'd kindly offered. Jungkook saw them and laughed, mouthing, what the hell? As the guy began dancing with him, Seokjin just grinned back. Hey, it was a meat market, right? Cheap meat. And he was cheap. Damn cheap. Worthless. The guy's hands were on his ass, then under his loose shirt, touching his back. Seokjin felt ill. The booze, maybe? He felt ill. The guy pushed up close, mouth brushing over his ear. He felt ill. He pulled the guy into a kiss that was instantly returned, open and wet and full of tongue, and he pushed into it with greed. When they broke apart, Jungkook's grin had vanished, Bambi eyes wide. The dance floor was packed and it was hard to move, but Jungkook tugged him closer and yelled into his ear, "What are you doing?" The second time he'd been asked that recently. The guy's hands were still on his hips, mouth now on his neck and shoulder, unwilling to stop. What? Seokjin asked, wiping at his mouth. Namjoon! Jungkook yelled simply. Seokjin shook his head. It's done! It's over! It's why we're celebrating!
Wait, what?
It doesn't matter. I spent too many nights holed up at his apartment. And I need to have fun, all right? I don't want to talk about Namjoon. He turned back to his conquest. Let's make out more. Shit, let's do it, the guy said. Points for enthusiasm. They continued to kiss as the songs played and thumped around them, hands restless, bodies grinding. He was turned on by the heat, by the contact. They went and got more shots, laughing at the bar together. Seokjin's arm around the guy's shoulders. He worked in construction, but wanted to be a personal trainer. Sure, sure. Seokjin nearly cared. He distantly realized he'd lost Jungkook, but the kid was old enough to handle himself. His throat burned from tequila, lips stinging with lime, and after a few more songs of grinding, he pulled them into a booth at the back of the club. Leather of the seat faded and sticky. The guy was a good kisser. And Seokjin closed his eyes and tried to get comfortable, straddling the guy then and there. He was heady. He was hot. Good. Was it good? When would it feel good?
Do you live far?
He asked, mouth trailing the guy's jaw.
Oh, wow. The guy laughed huskily. Fuck, you don't miss a beat. No, we'll go to a hotel. How's that? There's one nearby.
He steadied himself a little.
He was drunk, drunk, drunk. Okay, let's do it. But no weird shit, all right?
No weird shit, the guy promised. Just a good old pounding.
I'll ride you. That's the only way you'll get to fuck me.
A smirk. Yeah, do your worst, babe.
Babe. He did not want this man to call him babe or baby. He didn't want anyone except...
You need it badly, huh?
God, what did he need? This was good. Why did he need it again? Namjoon had recently started doing an infuriating thing when they made love. This thing where Namjoon sometimes stopped and just looked at him, caressed his face, had even kissed his eyelids once, gently, then kissed his way back to his mouth. Seokjin kissed the guy. Their tongues wet and messy. The guy grabbed his hand, not to touch abs this time, but directing Sokjin's hand straight to his cock, straining at the guy's jeans. Seokjin felt a thrill run through him. Why not? It was a cock, a good size. The guy was pretty hot, so what the hell? A hand on Sokjin's shoulder jerked him back from the kiss. He took in a gulp of thick club air, resurfacing, blinking against the flashing lights. Taehyung and Jungkook were stood by their booth, Taehyung's hand on his shoulder. "Hyung," Tae said, "you're coming with us." Jungkook looked nervous, hiding behind Taehyung, while Taehyung looked angry, having appeared in a baggy hoodie, not club attire.
Come on, let's go.
I think your friend knows.
Fuck you, he is drunk and upset,
Taehyung said. I'm drunk, Seokjin agreed, but I'm not upset. Jungkook was eyeing him a little sadly.
I think you're really upset,
he offered timidly, like he didn't know what to do with that, so he'd gotten Taehyung to handle it. Seokjin blinked, watching Jungkook's downturned mouth, the way his shoulders had slumped.
Oh no, he'd done that? He'd broken his cookie?
He clambered out of the man's lap and went straight for Jungkook, pulling him into a hug.
I'm sorry, Cookie. I'm so sorry, he mumbled, not even listening to the man's protests. Don't be upset. I'm just being stupid. Hey, don't worry about me. I'm fine. Look at me. I'm fine. Googie, come on.
Taehyung was already leading them through the crowd of writhing, moving bodies, and Seokjin realized he was leaning on Jungkook a little because his balance was off. God, he was wasted. Once outside, they got into a taxi.
You can have Jimin's bed, Taehyung said, since he's at Yoongi's.
Yoongi, Namjoon, Yuna, Namjoon. I just want to go home,
he mumbled, reality slowly crashing into him as he sat in the back seat between his friends. Taehyung shook his head.
We are not leaving you alone tonight.
Jungkook let his head drop onto Seokjin's shoulder before grabbing his hand. We're not leaving you alone ever. Seokjin blinked.
Oh, okay.
And then, for the first time in a few years, he began to cry. He only cried for half of the car ride, nonsensical drunken sobbing where he didn't even know what the hell he was upset over. But it was roughly because he was cheap and a fool and pathetic and worthless. Jungkook started tearing up because Seokjin was crying, and then Taehyung got upset that the two of them were upset, and the taxi driver probably considered driving off a cliff just to make it stop. Seokjin was calmer by the time they made it to Jimin and Taehyung's. He changed from his fuck-me clothes to Taehyung's spare pajamas, navy with white vertical stripes, and was soon holding a cup of chamomile tea as he curled up on the living room couch with a handful of blankets thrown atop him. He said that he and Namjoon had fought and that it didn't look like they could sort it out.
He said, it's too hard,
he said, swallowing the lump in his throat.
I mean, we weren't, you guys know anyway, that we weren't together or anything. It wasn't like a thing.
And he heard Namjoon's voice.
I hate it when you say we're nothing.
They watched kitten videos on YouTube until Jungkook fell asleep on the couch, and they stirred him and told him to go sleep in Taehyung's bed. Then it was just him and Taehyung, with the TV off and a cup of chamomile tea between his hands. Seokjin still felt the heavy pulse of alcohol in him, but the buzz was gone. He was just tired now.
Hey, so,
he began.
Thanks for pulling me off that guy.
Taehyung sat opposite him on the couch, under blankets too, hair a brilliant red. Taehyung gave him a crooked smile.
Yeah, like, it's a secret, but cock-blocking is a skill of mine.
Seokjin snorted and drank some of the tea. Taehyung chewed on his bottom lip, uncertainly, voice deeper than usual, heavy with exhaustion, as he asked,
Can I ask you something? Real talk?
He crinkled his nose, but figured he owed Taehyung as much after his antics, so he nodded, bracing himself about the prying about Namjoon and Yuna and all of it. It was too exhausting to think about, but he'd try.
So, we became friends the winter before you and Sun-hoon split up, right?
Taehyung said, surprising him. Sun-hoon's name was not the one he'd expected to hear.
And then the rest of us went home in the summer,
And when classes started again, you guys had split up.
Seokjin nodded to confirm the chronology. Taehyung hesitated.
Did you talk to anyone when it happened? Like, I don't know, your parents or something?
He considered the question.
No,
he then said, shaking his head.
No, there wasn't really anyone around, I guess.
It had been summer. Students had fled, just like they did at Christmas. And because he'd met San-hun his first month in the city, all of his other friends were San-hun's friends, people San-hun had gone to school with, who were thick as thieves and nice enough people. They'd been good to Seokjin too, showing up for his birthday dinners and what have you, but they were still San-hun's friends. In the imaginary divorce settlement, San-hun kept custody of them. Seokjin hadn't seen any of them in years either. They'd all let Seokjin go without a fight.
You could have called me, Taehyung then said. I don't know. We weren't that close then. Yeah, I guess not.
Taehyung stared at the blankets on them.
I remember when we got back, though, how Jimin and I talked about how you became a lot more social. Or, you know, you started hanging out with us a lot more, calling us up and stuff.
Seokjin failed to hide his surprise.
Hadn't I before? Not like that. You're always with San-hun, I guess, but you'd only call us up if he was busy. You were like the boyfriend type, you know? The relationship guy. And then we came back and you weren't that anymore, and you never told us about it. But you were different. You were sad and then I don't know. I guess we got used to you being like that.
Taehyung shrugged.
But maybe you're not that different. Maybe you're still the same guy. There was nothing wrong with that guy.
I think I'm better now, he said, a bit defensively. Then realized the fucking mess he'd made of that evening. Right. Not better. Point taken.
I mean, whatever you want to do is fine, Taehyung said. I'm just thinking now that when you never talked to us about the breakup, not ever, I guess I thought you talked to someone else about it, but Hyung, if you never talked about it to anyone.
Taehyung trailed off. That was bad, Seokjin realized.
You can't bottle stuff like that up. Remember when Jimin's Tinder crush called it off after 2 dates? And he cried for like a week.
Yeah, that was disproportionate, he agreed, even as they chuckled. Jimin had dramatically declared himself utterly unlovable, which they'd all told him was insane. Supporting Jimin through a messy club night, as Jimin ended up making out with a guy from his dance class that already had a boyfriend, followed by Jimin's remorseful hangover that he was a stupid slut. He wasn't. And Jimin's eventual realization that a 1 month courtship with a technical stranger wasn't worth that much sorrow. Not much later, Min Yoongi had happened anyway. Seokjin had done none of that processing. San-hun had left him, and he'd swallowed it down, 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 dreading the moments people asked him what had happened. You let Jimin drunkenly make out with randos, he then accused. Taehyung scratched the side of his head.
Yeah, well, that was different. He was upset over some guy he barely knew, and not over someone he really cared about.
Seokjin let that sink in, silently. The conversation seemed to end there, a 3 a.m. silence surrounding them. Taehyung didn't push it. But Seokjin broke the silence, fighting for the words.
I was embarrassed. The breakup with Sun-hoon, I'd failed. I hadn't been interesting enough. And he got bored, and that was on me. I put everything into that relationship. Everything, and then he didn't even want me. I really didn't want to talk about it.
Humiliation prickled his skin.
Maybe I should have talked about it.
Taehyung was blinking at him with a hint of surprise.
You should have. I mean, did he really say you were boring? That's not even a little true. No, we'd stagnated, he said.
Same thing, isn't it? He loved me, but it wasn't working out. But he said he loved me, and then he left me. And I loved him anyway.
And then he moved on. And I loved him anyway. That's pathetic. I know that. I don't want to put myself in that situation ever again.
Taehyung sat up straighter, legs crossed.
But you gotta, right? I mean, I don't know, but look, there's people you can... Your college has staff counselors or, like, support staff, right? Or the theater, I mean, places do these days. If you want to talk to someone, and if you're not comfortable talking to us, can, of course, we'd sit down and just hear you out whenever. There are also professionals out there, if you need to work through some stuff.
He dreaded to think what a professional would make of him, and he quietly stared at his tea.
Namjoon thinks it's a question of letting go, like, of the baggage, the memories. He thinks he's a Disney princess or some shit. So, you've talked to him about this?
No. I mean, a little? Maybe, but not really.
He was too exhausted to talk about Namjoon.
Taehyung looked thoughtful.
Everyone does it differently, I guess. Like, I take pictures. It's more than work or studying. It's therapy, really. If shit gets to me, I reach for the camera. I mean, you gotta do something. Because keeping it all up here... And Taehyung tapped the side of his head. It's gonna drive you nuts.
Photography was an infinitely better coping mechanism than drunken sex with strangers.
He'd give Taehyung that.
He sighed and leaned against the couch, before reaching out to ruffle Taehyung's hair.
How is my Tongseng giving me life advice?
He asked. And Taehyung smiled a little proudly.
When did you get so smart, clever clogs? I've always been clever.
Oh yeah? I don't recall.
I'll tell you what, whenever I need cock-blocking, you're the one for me, Tae.
Oh God,
Taehyung groaned. Please don't make that into a thing.
Kim Taehyung, the cock-blocker.
Kim, you shall not bone,
Taehyung.
Kim Taehyung, the woodslayer.
Kim,
Taehyung threw a pillow at him, knocking the cup of tea from his hand. And they spent the next few minutes tidying up the mess and trying to salvage the blankets, laughing. God, he was tired. He had nothing left.
Before he went to Jimin's bed to sleep, he added,
I'll look into it. You know, if there's someone I can talk to, if maybe that'd help me. I promise I will.
He squeezed Taehyung's hand.
Thank you.
Jimin woke them all up in the morning, unnecessarily loudly.
Ugh, Min Yoongi is in the doghouse!
Seokjin briefly wondered what on earth had happened, until he remembered Yuna and Namjoon, and the club,
and the guy and the taxi and...
I was asleep by the time Yoongi got back last night. So you know what he did? Just slipped into bed with me. Didn't wake me up. He didn't wake me up.
Jimin had seen the flow of missed texts and calls only in the morning, including Jungkook's plea for someone to come help him because Seokjin's about to do something really stupid. As far as Seokjin was concerned, mildly hungover and in Taehyung's pajamas, Jimin hadn't missed much. Jimin crawled into bed with him, insisting on being the big spoon and petting his hair, even though Seokjin said that was in no way necessary. He wondered if Namjoon was waking up next to Yuna, and then felt physically sick at the thought.
I blame Yuna, Jimin declared, chin hooked over Seokjin's shoulder, arms around him tight.
Seokjin let himself relax into the embrace. Jimin was cuddle-shaped, and he felt miserable. It helped.
It's no one's fault, he said tiredly. Mine, maybe. I thought maybe we had something, but...
And then he just sighed. What a pathetic mess he was.
What do you mean?
I don't know, that we both cared or something, but we didn't.
Jimin lifted his head.
Yoongi keeps complaining that Namjoon's written nothing but love songs for months now. So, what do you mean he doesn't care?
Songs for Yuna, maybe.
For you, Hyung? What?
God, this is all Yuna's fault. Why the hell didn't she just call like a normal person? Who even meets face-to-face for goodbyes anymore? I swear.
Seokjin stilled. What goodbyes?
Jimin's arms around him froze.
Huh? The goodbyes? Her moving... Seokjin... You know this. She's moving to Singapore because of her new boyfriend. You know this. Hyung, you knew that, right?
He thought of Namjoon's defiant insistence that he'd done nothing wrong. He thought of Namjoon saying that Seokjin had misread the situation. They were just friends, and that Seokjin needed to trust him.
And he thought of himself, within hours, begging for a stranger to fuck him until he felt nothing.
Oh, shit.
He breathed, burying his face in his hands.
Shit. Shit, shit, shit.
Jimin was saying, or just making a panicked sort of noise, patting him.
We'll fix it, Jimin said, trying to sound upbeat. Hey, we'll fix it.
Shit.
That summed it up nicely.
Can we talk?
A whole day passed. Yeah, that was a no, Seokjin supposed. I'm a fucking fuck-up. And you deserve better. But can we still just talk?
Another afternoon, another evening. He was learning about the infinity that was time.
Then, finally, almost at midnight. Not right now.
He stared at the message, sat in the kitchen of his apartment. The place felt quiet without Namjoon. Colorless. Joyless.
Not right now.
Before he went to bed, he saw that Namjoon had reposted a picture from Girl Love's official account, showing the group with the production team, everyone standing in the studio's control room with peace signs and wide smiles, captioned, "That's a wrap! Hashtag Dominion of Love! Hashtag coming soon!" Namjoon looked happy, content and proud, in smart black slacks
and a loose t-shirt. And Yoongi was there too, with a full-blown smile for once. And the members of the group were all pretty and pristine. And none of them were Yuna, of course. Yuna was presumably in Singapore by now. But they'd be fools not to at least try to hit on Namjoon. They'd go out and celebrate, right? And that was all he wrote. He clicked on Namjoon's profile. Artsy, full body shots of Namjoon in various locations. Pictures of the sea, of bars, of the studio. But he clicked on the one of his own theatre, taken of the wide sign above the main doors. The vacancy of spirit, it read. Namjoon had tagged the theatre location, captioned the shot.
Some plays you have to see more than once. Go see it while you can. Featuring the incredibly talented at Sokjini92. Hashtag support independent art. Hashtag the vacancy of spirit. Hashtag soul theatre.
He stared at the picture, feeling empty.
That had been a good night for them.
When Namjoon had come along for Jongsook's birthday drinks, things had still been good. He'd asked to talk.
Not right now.
Namjoon was somewhere partying with idols.
Namjoon had dodged a bullet, hadn't he?
When he woke up in the morning, Namjoon had messaged him again at 3:20 in the morning.
Yoongi told me about the club. I need some time to think.
He stared at the phone, suddenly feeling ill again. He could almost taste the man on his tongue. Lime and tequila. He wanted to pretend he wouldn't have gone through with it, but that was a lie. If Taehyung hadn't shown up, he'd have gone to the hotel. He'd have done it, just like he did when Sun-hoon left him. He'd have done it and staggered home in the early hours, and in the shower, he would have finally broken down. He didn't blame Yoongi. Loyalties lay where they lay, friends awkwardly caught in between. Yoongi and Jimin had already needed to sit down to discuss how they couldn't let Seokjin and Namjoon come between what they had. A shit show all around. It was better this way, he told himself, brushing his teeth with automatic movements, staring into the distance. He was meant to be alone. And Namjoon, well, he was a perfectly lovely human being who didn't deserve to be dragged into Seokjin's bullshit. Namjoon deserved better. Everyone deserved better. He'd tried it now, maybe giving the whole love thing another go. His suspicions had been confirmed. Never again. He could do this never again. So he went to work, played Giyu on stage. Giyu, who had come to resent his best friend so much that he'd seduced his wife because he was petty and spiteful and used sex as a weapon. Giyu, who had destroyed every relationship he had when people got too close. Giyu, who acted out because he knew deep down what a piece of shit he was. No wonder he'd landed the role. No wonder. He didn't message Namjoon. All he could offer were excuses. It was done now. It was finished. He stopped returning people's calls and messages, but he kept reading Greta's biography, with Google, with the dictionary, with a drink in hand. The Second World War kept going, and Greta's career began to end. She refused all movie offers. No project interested her. She was tired of Hollywood, tired of movies. She had love affairs with married men, co-stars, artists, with women who later became pregnant by their husbands and broke her heart. Greta remained alone, gave up on romantic love. Film historians now thought she may have been bipolar, certainly clinically depressed. She herself admitted to her sadness, a lifelong gloom that she never shook off. She'd had the world at her feet. She hadn't wanted it. Jimin messaged him.
Dinner tomorrow.
Not this week. Not right now.
Once, when he was home, Jungkook came knocking on his door, but he pretended not to be in. He curled up in bed, phone turned off, and stared ahead of himself all night, not sleeping a wink. Christmas was coming back, he realized. The murky black of Christmas. Now in February, like an oil leak, killing all attempts at life. It was coming back, gaining hold of him again. And there was no Namjoon to pull him out of it this time. It had just been a temporary fix. Nothing changed how worthless he was. He could disappear, and it'd make the universe no different at all. He could disappear, and the people he cared for would be better off. End part 3.